tonight. Our reading is from Paul's letter to the chapter 15, verses 1 to 13. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbour for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insulted you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Thanks be to God. Take my glasses. Thank you.
Brilliant. Mary Joy, up you come. Would you like the lectern or not?
No, thanks.
Brilliant. I'm just going to pray for you, if that's all right, before you crack on. Can I just put a hand on your shoulder while I pray? Is that all right? Father, I just want to thank you so much for Mary Joy. I just ask you to fill her again now with the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, just thank you for all you've called her to in her life, Lord Jesus. And I just ask she would teach us not only things about you, but that we might know you more deeply, and that we might encounter your Holy Spirit and grow in likeness of you today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful to be here. Thank you, Jenny, for that extraordinary reading, wonderful reading. Do you realize that Martin Lloyd-Jones spent 14 years every week preaching on the Book of Romans, and he still didn't get through to the end? We could spend 10 hours or more, but you'll be pleased to know that we'll keep it a bit less than that. Such a rich reading. Overflowing with hope. I'm Mary Joy. Yes, I think most people know that I'm Mary Joy, but for those of you that don't, I've been coming here for 4 years. And before that, before my husband and I retired, we were missionaries first in India and then in Bethlehem. And I can highly recommend getting out and moving into another part of the world. We had terrific adventures. It was a golden time in our married life. But now we're back in Chichester, and that's also lovely too. And do you have a bookmark somewhere handy? Because, yes, good, if you can get hold of one. Thank you so much to Emma, who's not here, but she made these for me. Overflowing with hope. Our world is in a terrible state, even more so, perhaps in the last 10 days. But where is hope? You look internationally and you think, oh. You look nationally and you think, oh. You look locally and problems in our families. Where is hope? And yet Christians believe we have hope. And Paul says we have overflowing hope, or we can have overflowing hope. That sounds good to me. But, you know, the advertisers have got it. We don't need to worry too much. Aha, technology. Technology, no, is it not working? The presenter. Ah, there we go. Where there is tea, there is hope. This popped up on my screen. That's all we need to do, my friends. We just need to go home, have a nice cup of tea, there's hope. Are we okay with that? So let's forget about whatever it is I'm having to say. Personally, I'd rather look at the daffodils. Somehow you kind of feel there is hope when the spring flowers come and so on and so forth. But that's not what Christians are on about. Not even the beautiful new life coming. Christians are on about something much, much deeper. And that's where this comes in. And I would like to ask you where you feel you are on this bridge to life. For sure, virtually everybody here, I dare say, has already crossed over to the golden side. God is waiting with arms open wide to welcome the prodigals to have hope and life. But for those perhaps who perhaps don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, can I encourage you, please, take this bookmark home, pray, think, and cross that bridge. Why? Because there is hope in Jesus. There is pardon for sin. We've already had that this morning. There is peace with God. Not just peace with God through our faith in Jesus Christ. A loving Heavenly Father. Being a Christian is about relationship. Working in India, oh my goodness, such a big difference between the faith that Jesus offers and the ways that other people try to follow in other parts of the world. Pardon, peace, oh, and then purpose. Life gets new purpose. It's exciting. You can't know where you're going to end up being a follower of Jesus, because God will lead you and guide you and direct you. And power, Holy Spirit power. Now that's four very good reasons for crossing over the bridge. It's truth. Jesus is truth in our world of fake news. So please, I trust and believe there is nobody in this room that is sort of, by the end of this service, isn't willing to cross over that bridge. But our text this morning, overflowing with hope, isn't even about that. Our text, that out of all that amazing passage that I could have done, but our series at Emmanuel is on hope. Overflowing with hope, that's what I was given. So this is clearly the key verse. And for me, this is a fabulous verse. Several years ago, our daughter Vicky, she said, Mummy, Romans 15, verse 13, that's for you. It's the hope, joy sandwich. And I always think of that. That's lovely, you know, Mary, joy, and hope, and joy, and hope. It's a hope, joy sandwich. So that's what I see it as. So let's look at it. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful prayer. Let's say it all together, because and if you're with somebody, say it for them, hold their hand or something, but let's make it a prayer for each other. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I haven't even got time to talk on joy, peace, and trust. We are focusing on overflowing today by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is this overflowing? What is this power of the Holy Spirit? Well, Nicky Gumbel likened it to the difference between a pilot light and being on full power. Clearly, all Christians have the Holy Spirit indwelling within them. There is no ifs and buts about that. Everybody who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is at work in their life. But, says Nicky Gumbel, and indeed many other people, there is something, there's a sort of a whoosh, shall we say. When your central heating is on pilot light, great. But when it turns on, it goes whoosh, doesn't it? And it starts working, and it starts oozing out warmth and heat and all the nice, wonderful things that your central heating system does. Great to have the pilot light, but there's more. There's more. And maybe that's I think that's a good picture. I want to be on full power. I don't know about you. The world is a desperately needy place. We need people who are, Jesus talked about streams of living water. Well, Mary Joy, are streams of living water flowing out from me? Lord, maybe a little trickle, but could it be a stream, please, Father? Stream, all right, okay, thanks, Tony. The phrase used is the power of the Holy Spirit here. Elsewhere, fullness of Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but one coming after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Baptism in Holy Spirit. We have these phrases in the New Testament. Do have each one of us had this kind of whoosh, Holy Spirit, can I call it whoosh? I can't think how else to describe it, really. Now, somebody I read likened it, maybe when we get to heaven, there will be all sorts of unclaimed gifts in our little section there. If you ever get a post office and your delivery thing, have you ever had those mail things and it says you were not in, your parcel is waiting for collection? And Lord, please, I do not want to get into your presence and discover there were a whole pile of unclaimed gifts for Mary Joy that I never claimed, if you get my drift. There are supernatural, charismatic, miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. And pray God we would all be moving in those and receiving those gifts in whatever way is appropriate and possible. But let me say again, all believers have the Holy Spirit. There's no second-class Christians. It's just maybe there's more. Maybe there's more for us. I like to think there is anyway. Shane spoke recently about how he got desperate for this more, for this fullness of Holy Spirit. It was speaking in tongues, wasn't it? You're really challenged about this supernatural gift. And he went forward for prayer, nothing happened. And he went forward for prayer, and nothing happened. And I can't remember how many times you said you went forward, and you were thinking, what's wrong with me? And then, praise God, suddenly you said it was like bullets coming out. Oh, God, that's not how it was for me, but fantastic. That's how it was for Shane. And Anita, she says I can share this, she had a terrific experience of the Holy Spirit on the... She was on an Alpha course, Holy Spirit Day. Highly recommend Alpha courses. When's our next one? I hope we've got it coming soon. But anyway, for Anita, on this Holy Spirit Day, you were sort of drenched in the Holy Spirit, weren't you? And wow, you were flying. My testimony, it took me forever. 6 months, I was searching God. I had definitely put my faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, I'd crossed the bridge. Fine. I'd got baptized in water, splendid. I was going to a very good church. It was sort of a brethren church. Solid, lovely, wonderful people there, believing in the Bible. I was a baby Christian. But a Pentecostal friend of mine, who helped me bring me to faith, he phoned me one time, they were coming to visit, and he and his wife, Mary Joy, have you received the Holy Spirit yet? I said, well, no. And he said, why not? Why not? I said, well, they don't talk about it at the church I go to. Oh, well, he said, we can't have that. You know, when Jean and I come, it was in about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months' time, we'll pray for you. I said, oh, my goodness, oh, gosh, what is this? Anyway, I started reading books. I'm a book lady, and I discovered, oh, gosh, it sounds brilliant, and you repent of your sins, perhaps, and you do this, and you go forward for prayer, somebody lays hands on you, bingo, and you speak in tongues, often as not always, but often, and you're kind of released into a great swinging off the chandeliers Holy Spirit time. Well, that sounded brilliant, so I did all that, and I went forward for prayer, nothing happened, and I went forward for prayer, and it went on like this, and I remember phoning my friend to say, Jim, at your church, what happens if you don't receive the Holy Spirit? Well, he said, we pray for you until you do. I thought, oh, God. So anyway, three of us, this was in the 1980s. There was a great charismatic surge going on in churches. And three of us asked a very experienced lady, could we meet for prayer to receive the Holy Spirit, to speak in tongues? I've done this many times, but anyway, why not? I was hungry. And my two friends had school-age kids. I had a baby in a pram. And we prayed. And what do you know? My two friends all started speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit. But not Mary Joy. Oh, no. What's the matter? Please, Lord. Anyway, school time was coming. And they had to leave. Because obviously you've got to pick your kids up from school. So really, just about as we were wrapping up, I did mention to this lady, well, I did do a bit with Ouija boards and palm reading, as it happens, and I've repented of it, honestly, I really have, but I don't know whether that could be relevant. And she said, oh, Mary Joy, why didn't you say that right at the beginning? Of course it's relevant. If you've messed around with the occult, even as a kind of, it was just student sort of fun stuff, it makes a difference. And so, rabbit hole here, if anybody here has got some sort of occult past, please speak to somebody about it, because it does make a difference in your spiritual life. I was absolutely 100% born again, but it was clearly a blockage, even though I had repented of it. So she prayed the kind of prayer you could imagine, you know, the blood of Jesus setting me free and darkness commanding it to go and all of that stuff. And then we all had to go home. And I felt inspired. I'm going to burn. I got some occult books. If any of you know Rudolf Steiner, Anthroposophy, Occult Science, I had been into that. I'd been living in a Buddhist monastery before, and I thought, no, Buddhism's got to go. And anyway, and my husband had some Dennis Wheatley books. He's a sort of occulty kind of writer. And I made this bonfire, and I burnt all these books, and there we were. My husband came back from work, and he was furious. I mean, what's going on here? I think he was perhaps worried that maybe I'd, you know, flipped, perhaps, I don't know. Anyway, relations were very frosty, and after all, I had burnt his Dennis Wheatley books, which I agree wasn't a very submissive wife thing to do, but anyway, that was how it was. They seemed like dark to me. They are dark. Frosty evening, Derek went off to bed. Yeah, we weren't really speaking to each other very much. And I sat on the sofa, baby sorted and in bed. And there I was sitting on the sofa, and I started speaking in tongues very, very quietly and peacefully. Wow. And then I thought that was great. And then I opened my Bible. Now, I don't recommend this particularly for seeking God, but I opened my Bible by chance it came open at Acts 19, and I was a young Christian. I didn't know my Bible. Acts 19, you won't believe this, or maybe you will, but anyway, Acts 19 starts off with Paul going to a bunch of Christians and asking about whether they'd received the Holy Spirit. Well, that was a terrific confirmation. But read on, verse 19. This is Acts chapter 19 and verse 19. a number who had practiced sorcery. I don't think Ouija boards and palm reading is sorcery, but it's on that level, isn't it? A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them. I mean, what? Where in the Bible is there anything about that was totally a one-off thing? Right, I went rushing up to Derek. Darling, I said, you won't believe it. And bless Derek. I mean, bless my long-suffering husband. He said, oh, yeah. He said, oh, and he absolutely got it. And he was as excited as I was. So anyway, I was now swinging off the chandeliers for at least 3 weeks. And that's my story. And it's transformed my life. Obviously, crossing the bridge is the first total life transformation. But this, if you like, is the second. And I would encourage you, and I hope everybody here is hungry for more. Is it biblical? I don't know how time's going, but anyway, let's have a look. Pentecost, you know about Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit first fell on the disciples. And Peter said, this is to fulfill the prophet Joel, who said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. So it wasn't just as in the Old Testament, which was for a particular time, a particular person. But for a particular reason. Now, says Peter, this is for all people, and it is. There are other scriptures, Samaria, I would encourage you to read these. If you're in any doubt about this, what do we call it, second blessing, whooshing of Holy Spirit, the apostles in Jerusalem were so concerned that the people in Samaria had received Jesus and been baptized, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. So they sent Peter and John to Samaria to make sure that these folk did receive the Holy Spirit, and it's recorded that that's what happened. Cornelius, the centurion, the Roman centurion who was a Gentile, same thing happened, and there are others too. But I've had people say to me, yes, Mary Joy, but that was for then. That was to get the church started. It's not for the 21st century, 2,000 years later. And I would say to them, what about this verse here? How are you going to say, oh, well, it's not for the 21st century? The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Does anybody here feel they have been called by God? And the answer is yes. Wave at me, Tony. You believe you've been called by God. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody here who's crossed the bridge has been called by God. To me, that verse applies. It's for everybody. 2,000 years ago, 21st century. This promise of the Holy Spirit, repent. Yes, we've repented of our sins if we've crossed the bridge. We've been baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And wasn't it wonderful last Sunday with those lovely baptisms? And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So go for it, friends. Go for it. But there's a slight snag. Whoopee-dah, Mary Joy had a wonderful Holy Spirit experience back in 1981. Hallelujah. But we leak. Oh, gosh, we leak. Is there anybody here who doesn't leak? And the answer is no. There is nobody. Hang on. There is nobody here who doesn't leak. That's a double negative. We leak. Moody said he's a leaky vessel and he needs to be daily under the fountains of the Lord's grace. And I wouldn't put it in quite such a flowery way, but yes, we leak. Paul says in Ephesians, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Great to have a baptism in Holy Spirit. Jesus came to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. But we also need to go on being filled. Present, continuous, imperative. Go on being filled day by day. Lord, please fill me. Yeah, fill me. So, in conclusion then, this lovely, lovely prayer, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Please bow your heads, join with me. Father, it's wonderful to talk about this. It's wonderful to know something of your Holy Spirit. But I pray that each one of us here would be hungry for more of your Holy Spirit in their life, whether it's for a sort of first-time baptism or whether it's for a daily refill. Father, fill each one of us afresh and anew. And I'm wondering if there is anybody here who would like to actually, what I call, seal the deal and show God they mean business. Would you like to raise your hand if you would like to, thank you, to receive more of the Holy Spirit? Thank you. Thank you. Yes, indeed. Okay, more Holy Spirit. Many hands going up. Who wouldn't want to receive more of the Holy Spirit? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Please put your hands down. Yeah. Okay. So, Father, for those people who've raised their hands, their hearts are hungry for more of your Holy Spirit. But maybe also it could be that some people just don't want to raise their hands either. But for each person here, may we know more of your precious Holy Spirit in our lives, I pray, that we may love and serve you in your power, that we may be streams of living water flowing out to a needy world that needs to know your love. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.